Let's light our hearts together, a word of prayer, and seek the Lord afresh tonight. Our gracious, eternal, loving Heavenly Father, we continue in thy presence in the Savior's name, thanking thee, O God, that we have one who is our great shepherd, and one who is our Savior tonight, seated at the right hand of God on high. We thank the Lord he pleads the merit of his precious blood on our behalf. We thank the Lord that blood avails for us. We thank the Lord tonight we're washed and we're made clean in thy sight. And oh God, we're accepted in the Beloved, all because of the one who loved us and gave himself for us on the cross. And oh God, we thank thee for the leading of God in our life, those providences, those times, Lord, that it speak to us through thy word. And oh Father, we thank thee for the leading of the Holy Spirit to bring us to that place where we realized we were a sinner. We realized our undone state before thee. And oh God, we thank thee thou didst impart to us and give us understanding to realize there was one who died for the sinner. There was one who was a sinner's substitute and the one who could save us by his matchless grace. And, oh God, although we didn't know the truths and the theology of the Bible, yet, Lord, we thank thee, thou didst give us the grace to call, and thou didst answer, and thou didst save us. And, Lord, we can say thou art leading us yet. And, oh, we pray that we might, Lord, be that obedient sheep. We might, Lord, as it were, follow the Master closely. We pray that thou would bless us, Lord, even in our study again tonight. Give us, Lord, understanding even in these things. And we pray that thou would impart these great truths to us by the power of thy Spirit. Thank thee for each one that's bowed in thy presence. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us here this night. Thank you, Lord, for your hand upon us already today. And Lord, we take a moment to thank thee even for the meetings on the Sabbath day. We bless thee for thy presence. We bless the Lord for thy speaking voice. We thank the Lord for help given on Sunday evening to the boys and girls and to your brother Andrew. And oh, we pray that thou would, Lord, hide the word yet in their heart. And Lord, we might see it bring forth fruit unto thine eternal glory. Thank thee for the many parents and visitors that were in. And oh God, we pray that they might be even guided back again. We might see them under the word, even on other Sabbaths. Oh God, come Lord and accept of our thanks. And Lord, for the good week that we enjoyed with the children. But oh God, we pray that thou would come again and thou would minister to these hearts and souls of ours this night. We do pray for those that need the special touch. We thank thee for answer to prayer for Linda and for helping her. And we pray that thou would continue to strengthen and perfect that which concerneth her. And we thank thee for your hand upon Barbara even today as well. And oh Father, for going with her, Lord, to get those results and that hospital visit. And oh, we pray that thou would draw near to her tonight and encourage her in her own soul. And Lord, we thank thee for even enabling her to be out in the house of God on Sunday morning. Continue, Lord, to bless, we pray. Remember William, continue to be with him. We ask that thou would meet with him. Tanya as well, Lord. Thank thee for bringing her out on Sunday night. And Lord, there's so many of others. And Lord, they're shut into their home through the infirmity of the body. And we pray that thou would draw near even to them this evening. Lord, while they are not with us, Lord, in body, Lord, yet many are with us in spirit. And we ask that thou would encourage and bless each one. So Lord, abide with us now as we turn to thy word. And Lord God, we pray, thou would pour out of thy spirit upon us in prayer. Lord, lead us out after thee this night. For we ask these things in our Savior's name. Amen. Psalm 23. Let's just read it again. We looked last week just at the start of verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, are the very best of pastures. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. We know the Lord will bless the reading to each of our hearts tonight. There are no people like the people of the Lord, and there is none that leads like the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been thinking of the satisfaction that the shepherd gives to his sheep. It is the Lord who causes his people to feed well, for it is he that maketh us to lie down in those very best of pastures. And there's times and due to circumstances, as we noted last time, there are those things that would prevent us from lying down in contentment in Christ, and they need to be guarded against. But a sheep lying in a green pasture is one who's content. There's contentment about them and where it will grow. And so it must be where the sheep of Christ also are to be found. For the Scriptures exhort us that we are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If there is not growth, then there's a starving. And there's never a standing still. There's always going back. So if we're not going forward, we're going back where the believer is concerned. And there, as there must be a continual feeding in the natural example, then so likewise there has to be in the spiritual. And as for an encouragement or an example that encourages us through the Scriptures, you can think of Job. That man who was upright, that man who feared God and eschewed evil, and yet in the very depths of his suffering, he could say in chapter 23, listen to this, "Neither have I gone back from his commandment of his lips, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." But notice also that as we proceed in verse 2, that there's more than that, the food that suffices. There's the water as well. And it was something that the Lord himself was to bring together when he said those words of John 6:35, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst." So there's the feeding, and there's the drinking. I want us to consider something of this second part of verse 2 here just this evening for a few moments. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. First of all, there's the necessity of the water. The picture that is betrayed here continues to be a tranquil one, where the shepherd not only sees his flock are well fed, but he also leads them to the waters where they can drink. Now, just to give you a little bit of the background before we go any further, we've got to fully appreciate that when the psalmist speaks here of water, it's something in the eastern setting that's not as plentiful as it is here. And sometimes we get plenty of it. We nearly think we get too much of the stuff. But that's not the setting in the east. There are the seasons of water. There's the early and there's the latter rain. And of course that's what set the land of Israel apart from all other lands. You come back to me to Deuteronomy chapter 11. And here Moses is reminding the children and nation of Israel about the promised land, the land that God had given unto them, what it would be like. And they were just about to cross over. In Deuteronomy 11, you'll see in the words of verse 10, "For the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt." That's what they had just come out of. The land of bondage. "For whence ye came out, where thou sowest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot as a garden of herbs. But the land whither ye go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven." So it hadn't to be irrigated like Egypt had to be, and watered with the foot. The rains came, the waters came from the heavens. Verse 12, "A land which the Lord thy God careth for." The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it from the beginning of the year, even unto the end of the year. Some of our people are going to Israel in a few days' time for a holiday. You might need a holiday when you get back again. You'll be traveling around a bit. But there's a good verse to remember about. It's a land that the Lord God cares for. His eyes are continually upon that land from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. Verse 14, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. And that's what set it apart from Egypt. It's a land that was blessed with the water, with the rain. A land that was watered by God. But yet, because of only those two seasons of rain, the water still remained to be precious, and especially to the shepherd who had to water his flock. Do sheep need water? Yes, they do. For like ourselves, if it does not drink water, it will die. A sheep is made up of 70% of fluid. And so the sheep needs the water. The water that falls is rain from on high, but there are also times in which it doesn't need to drink much water. And that is because it gains the water it needs from the dew that is upon the pasture. And so in the springtime, when the sun rises early, you'll find the sheep have come off the hillside and they're found in the valleys where the grass is to be found. And there the sheep are not only eating, but they're drinking as well as the grass glitters with the dew. But there's one thing about the dew, men and women. It's there early in the morning. And the sheep, for to get it, has to be feeding and drinking at that early hour. Sometimes the shepherd would notice even the dew on the summer's morning is gone by 8:30. It's away. The sheep had to be out early to catch it. And you know, I think there's a spiritual lesson there for us. We're likened to the sheep. Like an old divine said, I think it was McShane, I'm not just certain, just can't remember right, but I think it was McShane who said this, before I see the face of man, I must see the face of God. And certainly if you take up the commentaries or the biographies in Spurgeon or McShane or the Covenanters, you will see that invariably they had this one thing in common. They spent time with God. They spent time before God before they ever went near men at the start of any day. That's why what he means when he said that I must see the face of God before I see the face of man. And how we must need to guard that time where we are fed and watered in the things of God. For that's the very thing the devil seeks to rob from us. Are you found early drinking? Are you found early feeding upon that bread of life and that fountain of living water? To do so is to follow in the footsteps of many an example that we find in the Scriptures. I think of the psalmist. You turn over to Psalm 63. Psalm 63, in the words of verse 1. Psalm of David, when he was in the wilderness of Judah. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. He's in the wilderness. We've been considering Elijah of late. He was in the wilderness. The wilderness is a dry and hot place. It's a barren place. And oftentimes as believers we find ourselves that's where we're walking in terms of this world. It's a wilderness. But you see what he says? He says, early will I seek thy face. You go over to Psalm 130, the same truth is brought out there. Psalm 130 and the words of verse 5. We know well, of course, verse 3, if thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? We often quote that. You look at verse 5, he says, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. And the little picture there is of the sentry. And the sentry's on watch duty, he's in guard, and he was always looking for the rising of the sun, because when the rising of the sun took place, he was off home. His shift was over. And the psalmist says, he says, I wait for the Lord more than they. I watch for the morning. That was the eagerness that he had of waiting upon the Lord. But you know, the greatest example of all is the Lord Jesus Christ. You turn to Mark, just I'll give you one example. Mark chapter 1. And we're bringing out the thought here of the dew being early. And the need for us to meet with God before we meet with others. And Mark chapter 1, you read verse 35 with me. It says, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. In the morning, a great while before day. This is the Savior now. This is the Son of God. And yet you take a little moment to look back up the verses there of verse 31, for example. It says, he came, he took her by the hand, lifted her up. Immediately the fever left her. She ministered unto them. That's Peter's mother-in-law. She was sick of a fever. So he healed her. That was the previous day. Verse 32. And at even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases and cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. And there was a busy day the day before where he was found healing all that came unto him. And yet the next morning, before a great while before it was day, the Lord was found in a solitary place praying. I think it is a lesson to us. We must not think that periods of coldness and backsliding are inevitable. They're not. And our shepherd does not desire that for his flock. And that's why he maketh us to lie down in the green pastures. And that's why he leadeth us beside the still waters. Are you feasting on the living bread? Are you drinking of those living springs of God's word? You see, not to do so is to be guilty of what was true of the people in Jeremiah's day. Jeremiah 2 verse 13 says this, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Listen, listen. Young person especially, there's no substitute. No substitute to quench the thirsting of your soul other than meeting with God, feeding on His Word, drinking of that everlasting spring. There's no other substitute that will do it. Don't try and make the cistern, the broken cistern. And what we say to our young people, we say to each of our hearts tonight, there's no substitute for feasting on the Savior. There is the necessity of the water. What about, secondly, the type of water? Now, I'm not talking about if it's cold, if it's a hard water or soft water. You hear people sometimes talk about in different areas in the country. But you'll notice that this verse speaks of the type of water that the shepherd leads his flock to. There's another indicator that the psalmist was one who knew what it was to be a shepherd and how to look after sheep. For something that sheep will not do is to drink water from a fast flowing stream. The consolations of God, the joys of the Holy Ghost, are these still waters by which the saints are led. Streams which flow from the fountain of living waters and which make glad the city of our God. The heavenly shepherd leads his people not to stagnant waters. He'll not lead you to a stagnant pool where you will be corrupted by. You'll gather filth. He doesn't lead a sheep there. He doesn't lead a sheep to the troubled seas, nor to the rapid rolling floods, but to the silent waters. For the still but running waters agree best with the spirits of God's flock. The still waters are the opposite to the great rivers. The great rivers will frighten the flock. They'll frighten the sheep with their noise. They'll expose them to the danger of being carried away by their swift and by their violent streams whilst they're drinking at them. And dear loved one, when we consider water in the Scriptures, then it most often is used as a symbol of the Holy Spirit. It was the Lord who promised in Isaiah 44 and 3, for I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour out my Spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. You'll understand why we need this water of which this verse speaks about. What's the greatest need of the church today? It's surely the outpouring of God the Holy Spirit. The sort of blessing that is envisaged when we read those words that are found in Ezekiel 47 and verse 3. Ezekiel 47 and verse 3, it says, "And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters." The waters were to the ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The waters were to the loins. Afterward, he measured 1,000. It was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen. Waters to swim in. A river that could not be passed over. Waters to the ankles, waters to the knees, to the loins, waters to swim in. You think of the various uses of the water. Water cleanses. And of course we have that in John's Gospel, John 15 and verse 3. "Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." That's how we're cleansed. We keep refreshing the body. We keep refreshing our souls with the clean water of God's word. It cleanses, it moistens, it cools. That's what the rich man longed for when he was in the torments of the everlasting fires. He prayed just that a drop would cool his tongue, just a drop of water. It's water that causes fruitfulness. It's water that revives and quenches the thirst. Dear people, it is the Holy Spirit that we need to give us these things and to teach us every time that we're brought to lay down in the green pastures. We cannot understand the Word of God of ourselves. Don't try and take up the Word and read it without praying for the Holy Spirit to help you. The Holy Spirit is the divine author. And he's able to lead us, and he's able to teach us, and he's able to help us drink in what we're being taught and what we're reading. But take up God's word and read it without praying for the help of God's Spirit, and it will soon become to you a dry brook. It'll be dry. And you see, that's what it has been for many believers who lay down the authorized version. And they take up a modern version. And the reasoning in doing it was that they think they will understand it better because there's easy language in it. But they're missing the whole point. We need the help of the Holy Spirit to understand the spiritual book. It's not our eyes. It's not the language. It's God, the Holy Spirit, that teaches us, that feeds us, that guides us in the Word. It's like the sheep who oftentimes will look up and see what it believes to be greener grass afar off. I read of one such shepherd who had the job of recovering one of his sheep from a grassy ledge. Oh, the sheep was able to get down onto that grassy ledge and to get itself onto it, but it couldn't get itself off it again. It couldn't jump up 7 feet. And while it was there, it fed there for those days, yet the grass didn't do it any good. Didn't do it any good because of nothing to drink. And so 2 days later it was to die. Why? Because when the shepherd opened up the sheep, he found that the grass that had eaten had hardened itself into a ball. And instead of that grass being the means of nourishing it, it instead was to choke the very life out of it. The water. We need the water of God's Spirit in our daily walk. We need the water of God's Spirit as we come to pray. We need the water of God's Spirit in our study life. I need the water of God's Spirit in the preaching of the ministry. It's that water which the Lord was to speak of in John 7. John 7, in the words of verse 38. At the temple, it says there in the last day, verse 37, says, "The great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." The sense of the word to drink there means to accept, to take in. And what it's really saying is, if any man thirst, let him take in Christ, that Christ becomes part of us. Verse 38, he that believeth in me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe in him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. That's expressed as living water, because by it dead sinners are quickened. Dripping saints are revived and comforted. Spiritual life in them is maintained and supported, and it springs up in issues in eternal life. May God be pleased to give us His Spirit in such a measure. And you know, we're encouraged to know that if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto our children, then how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. He's there for the asking. The Lord has promised in the words of Isaiah 41 and verse 17, when the poor and needy seek water and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places, fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water, and the dry land springs of water. Is that not an apt description of our own land and of our own hearts? The dry and thirsty land where there's no water. He can give us waters even in the most unlikeliest of places. In places where there are signs of dearth and dryness. And all may consider and understand, verse 20, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this. And the Holy One of Israel hath created it. Dear believer, when the Lord leads you down into a dark place, into a difficult spot, you remember my verse tonight, He leadeth me, is to bring you to those waters, those cool, silent waters that you will feed upon. The third thing is the refreshment of the water. The wording of the verse suggests that these waters are plentiful. They're likened to the Spirit of God, of which the people of God partake of. But Christ Himself, of course, is the fountain and the well of living waters. We could also add that the Scriptures and the truths of the Gospel are like still, quiet, refreshing waters, and are the waters to which those that are athirst in their sin are invited to come to, in which we pray for tonight. For Isaiah 55 and verse 1, we have the great invitation. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy, and eat ye come buy wine and milk without money and without price. The great invitation of the gospel goes out to the unconverted. But isn't it a glorious thought that not only does our shepherd lead us to these still waters while here on earth, but also in that immortal state, Christ will yet be the shepherd. Christ will yet feed His people and lead them to the fountains of living water, where they shall be refreshed forever and shall know no more sorrow and no more sighing. For Revelation 7 and 17 says, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. It's a picture that is transposed into the heavenlies. And please notice that it's the Lord that leads us. We could not go there of ourselves. We need His guidance. And therefore, it is said, He leadeth me beside the still waters. Don't lead ourselves. He leadeth me. Without the Lord, we can do nothing. It's the shepherd causing us to lie down in the green pastures. It's the shepherd leading us beside the still waters that strengthens us in our walk and in our journey as a pilgrim along that heavenly pathway. I want to read one more verse from Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11. It's a lovely picture. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. There's the good shepherd. He leads by his providence. He leads by his word. He leads by his spirit. And we must follow. And men and women, listen, the shepherd knows where the best watering places are. He knows where the best watering places are for your soul and for mine. You know why? Because he has provided them. And in a natural sense, often the shepherd has to labor and bring his sheep to that watering hole. But they're the best place to bring them. And so when you can't see that in your circumstance and you're going through a dark place and maybe a cliff edge, if I could use that as an illustration, remember that the Lord's still leading you to the best watering place. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Tell me, are you drinking of this everlasting spring? Are you seeking the refreshment that only Christ and his word through his spirit can give to our souls? The apostle Paul, he could write to the believers in Ephesus, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the spirit. Do we not need the dew of heaven upon our witness? The dew of heaven upon our labors? The dew of heaven upon our service for Christ? The dew of heaven upon our praying? The dew of heaven upon our preaching, the dew of heaven upon these hearts afresh. The Lord said, I will be their dew. Thank God we have that provision through Christ. May God enable us to pray for the Lord to lead us into such a blessing whereby we will know times of refreshing coming from the presence of the Lord to his honor and to the eternal glory of God himself. And you know what? Listen, we're in the right place to seek it. We're in the right place to seek such blessing tonight, for the means of grace is where Christ leads his people. The shepherd leads his sheep to the watering place. And the Lord leads his people to be refreshed amidst a weary world into the means of grace, to the prayer time, to the services. Our prayer is that others of Christ's sheep would join with us and seek that refreshment that they too need for his glory's sake. He leadeth me beside the still water. I trust and pray the Lord will bless those few thoughts to your heart tonight in our little study in Psalm 23.